I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. Community outrage over the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin continues to grow in Central Florida. Ahead, we'll hear reflections from Martin's parents about their son. We also kick off a two-part series of conversations with the candidates for Orlando mayor. Incumbent Orlando mayor Buddy Dyer discusses why he deserves another term in office. And three-time challenger Ken Mulvaney explains his position on the issues. That's up next on Intersection. The February shooting death of Trayvon Martin by Neighborhood Watch Captain George Zimmerman in Sanford and the subsequent investigation into the case is sparking protests and anger across Florida and the nation. Late last week, I sat down with Trayvon Martin's parents and asked them to describe their son to me. Trayvon's mother, Sabrina Fulton, says he wasn't too different from most teenagers.
He loved going to the football games and, you know, he just was like different activities, mostly outdoors. He was a video guy sometime, but mostly outdoors, like riding his bicycle and things like that. So he was just learning to drive, and, you know, he was excited about getting his license and things like that. He just was an average teenager.
Father Tracy Martin says Trayvon was very mature and at a young age demonstrated tremendous courage.
He was my hero, he saved my life before. He was at the age of nine, he actually pulled me out of a burning kitchen and went back in the house, got the phone, called 911, and rescue ended up coming to get me. But he was everything to me.
The 90.7 News team is following the Martin story and will be reporting as events unfold. Ahead on Intersection, Orlando mayoral candidate Ken Mulvaney talks about why he should replace incumbent Buddy Dyer. Buddy Dyer faces an old rival in Orlando's mayoral race. Ken Mulvaney sought to overturn Dyer's 2004 election as mayor by accusing him of violating election law. A state investigation resulted in Dyer's arrest. Dyer eventually was cleared of wrongdoing, but he was suspended from office for more than a month. Ken Mulvaney is a real estate developer and native of Ireland. He is running in his third effort to best Buddy Dyer in the Orlando mayor's election. And as part of Intersection's conversations with the candidates, he joins me to explain why he should be mayor of Orlando. Welcome, Ken Mulvaney.
It's great to be here.
So this is your third campaign against Buddy Dyer. In 2008, Dyer won with 61% of the vote. So why run again? What is new about this campaign effort?
Well, I think this campaign is different from the other two campaigns in the past. I think we have four candidates on the ballot. Each candidate has their own different views on things. But I think on the running of the city, I think we're all running on pretty much the same platform. And I think it's going to be a close race, no matter who wins.
You propose rolling back property taxes to 2005 rates. Of course, property values are much different today than they were in 2005. So is this plan feasible given today's housing market and the deep cuts in recent years to state spending, which has forced more spending by local governments to provide services and that sort of thing?
Not really. I think if you look at the city budget, the city has a budget of, I think the 2011-2012 budget was $347 million. And like running a business, if you go in and to City Hall and the budget's a six-page item, and if you go line by line, there is a lot can be cut out of the budget and given back to the people.
What are some of those items you would like to see cut out of the city budget?
I don't have, obviously, the budget in front of me right now, but one of the items which is top-heavy is the actual the mayor's office in City Hall. I mean, the executive office up there, the budget has crept up there over the years, and I think that's something which could be cut back.
Talking about reduction in staff in that executive office?
Reduction in staff, and if you look at, I don't have a breakdown of salaries, but, you know, I believe some people are overpaid.
Getting back to this issue of the money that's coming into the city, of course, you get a lot of money in Florida through property taxes. Are you concerned about the value that is coming in terms of revenue from those properties?
Well, it all depends. I mean, as you know yourself, on property values have come down, and they have come down to a lot. The highest values was probably in Orlando was 07, 08, 09. Since 09, property values have come back down to pre-05 levels, possibly in some areas, depending on where you are. And unfortunately for some people, it's even less again.
So let me ask you this. Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer recently at his State of the City address was pleased to announce that he says Orlando has the lowest tax rate of any big city across the state of Florida. Given that situation, how would you propose to bring more revenue into the city, given that you're talking about rolling back property taxes?
Well, I mean, the rollback in property taxes, it all depends on the percentage you can cut out of the city budget without affecting our services within the city. And as for property taxes, saying the property taxes, the millage rate hasn't gone up over the years, but the actual cost of doing business in the city has gone up for everybody.
And why is that?
To pay for some of these venues downtown, which have been the Citrus Bowl they're looking at right now. We've had an arena which was built, which went way over budget. And the Performing Arts Centre, which is under construction right now, I mean, that was originally talked about to be a $200 million project. And if you go into the city now, the estimates for the new Performing Arts Centre are $385 million. So if you throw some overages into that mix, you know, the Performing Arts Centre is going to cost double what the taxpayers were told. And bottom line at the end of the day is these venues have to be paid for by the taxpayers.
I do want to ask you a little bit also about education in the city of Orlando. You have proposed city-sponsored charter schools, and I wonder, should the city be in the business of operating charter schools?
Not in the business of operating charter schools, but I think we should encourage charter schools to open up within the city. And I'm not saying I'm in favour for charter schools. I'm in favour for higher education. The Orange County public school systems, which I think does a very good job in my eyes, my daughter goes to Lake Nona High School, which is an excellent school, does a very good job within the community as well. It's just diversifying and giving people a choice.
How would you propose working with the Orange County School District on that charter school issue if you were elected mayor?
Well, working with the Orange County School District, if elected mayor, on charter schools, we've two different issues here. We have the public school system and we have the charter schools, and I would propose working with both, you know, people, as I said, who want to open, you know, charter schools within the area, and then the Orange County public schools, which are in the city of Orlando, is working with the Orange County public schools to get more programs out there in the schools, educating our children on the direction the city's going to go in the future, and what type of jobs are going to be available to our kids in the future if they stay in Orlando.
You're listening to Intersections Conversations with the Candidates on 90.7 WMFE-FM Orlando. I'm talking with Orlando mayoral candidate Ken Mulvaney. I'm Mark Simpson. Who do you support in Orlando's mayor's race? You can tell us about it on Facebook or Twitter, or send email over to intersection@WMFE.org. City Mayor Buddy Dyer has focused on growing Orlando into a more cosmopolitan city, noticeably through the expansion of venues in downtown, the Amway Center being one of those, but also the Medical City out at Lake Nona, and bringing SunRail, the Central Florida commuter line, to the region. Is your vision of how Orlando should grow different?
No, I think the vision for Orlando, which I see, which will make Orlando a great city, is working with the citizens of Orlando in our six districts, working with local businesses, small and big, to create more jobs within the community. And one thing we have to take into consideration, it's okay talking about a world-class city, but if a world-class city is not managed right, I've traveled around the world and I've been to a lot of big cities, and I think we'll all agree that a lot of big cities bring, they do bring bad schools, they bring crime, they bring high taxes, and it's down to managing the city. And my view is different from Mayor Dyer's, that I believe in having a hands-on with the people who live here and increasing the quality of life for the people who live in Orlando, as opposed to, I hope Medical City is a big success. I think it's great for the community. But one thing I will say about Medical City is that this was all put together 4 or 5 years ago, and it's slowly growing. And I don't think we've done enough to educate the people who live in Orlando about the jobs in the future which are going to be available out in Medical City. The problem they're going to have out in Medical City, I've talked with some job placement people around town who have said that we're lacking the qualified people to fill some of these jobs out there. And we need to get on a program on getting people educated for these jobs which are going to come up over the next couple of years, so that we can put the people who are already here to work and not have to get people to come in from outside to take these jobs.
Does that mean some kind of new partnership with, like, the University of Central Florida, for example?
Yeah, I think we should partnerships with everybody. And that's why I said it's partnerships with the people who are out in Medical City, who are going to be located out there, and partnerships with small and local businesses around the city. I mean, Medical City is not just going to be hospitals and doctors. There's going to be room there for service contracts, and they're going to have to buy supplies, and, you know, there's going to be warehouse facilities which are going to be needed. And hopefully it's going to be a terrific success, but I think we have to, you know, work with the people out there as well.
You mentioned concerns about the Orlando downtown venues and cost overruns. There's, of course, the new Amway Center, the Orlando Performing Arts Center, and the Citrus Bowl renovations, which have been stalled. Do you think that the city bit off more than it could chew by committing to help put these venues forward?
Yes, I do. I believe they bit off more than they can chew. I mean, the arena definitely went way over budget. The Performing Arts Center, they're struggling to get the funds to build a Performing Arts Center. And the Citrus Bowl, I think they've talked about renovating the Citrus Bowl, but it's one thing renovating it, it's another thing paying for it. And then we have to look at the standpoint of view on some of these venues. Are these venues going to be profitable, or is it going to cost the city taxpayers money to maintain these venues?
What would you do differently?
What I would have done differently, and don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-venue. I have stated, you know, when I ran before and this time round, I believe that public works projects like the Amway Centre should have went to a vote to the taxpayers. The taxpayers have to pay for the arena at the end of the day. In my platform, I put out there the public works projects over $25 million in the city of Orlando will go out on a ballot, and the citizens will vote on expenditures over that.
I do want to also ask you about crime. In this campaign and previous ones, you've focused on crime reduction as an issue. You've been critical of police response times in the city and say under Buddy Dyer's administration there's been no emphasis on crime prevention. Mayor Dyer's campaign says that he has bolstered police protection, provided tools and training, and brought about a dramatic reduction in crime across the city. Is this a case of he says, or
well,
how do you counter that?
It all depends on where you live. I mean, you know, we've had a reduction in some crimes, and we've also had an increase in others. Theft has increased in the city. People breaking into houses and businesses. That crime rate is up.
So what would you do to counter it?
I've talked about the city is divided up into four quadrants. Is put some more police officers on the street and reduce that down to 8 quadrants, or increase it to 8 quadrants, so we can get a quicker response time for crimes within the city.
What do you think about using neighborhood watches to reduce crime?
That's up to the neighborhoods. And I mean, I'm sure that unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of press now on the neighborhood crime watch issues because of the incident out in Sanford. And unfortunately, you know, it can go either way. You know, some people like neighborhood watch, you know, get involved in their neighborhood watches in their communities, and other people don't. I guess the best way to address this is hopefully putting more police officers on the street, since it's the police officers. We pay tax dollars to be protected by the police, not by our citizens.
Ken Mulvaney is a three-time challenger to Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer. Ken, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me here, Mark. You take care.
It's been nearly 10 years with Buddy Dyer at the helm in Orlando. Up next, he explains why voters should give him another term. I'm Mark Simpson, and this is 90.7 WMFE-FM Orlando, and you're listening to Intersection. Buddy Dyer has been Orlando mayor for nearly a decade. The city has experienced a growth spurt during his tenure, exemplified by the Orlando Magic's new Amway Center, the rising Lake Nona Medical City, and plans for the SunRail commuter line. The city has also been hard hit, though, by the global recession. Unemployment and housing remain a problem. Mayor Buddy Dyer joins me on Intersection's Conversations with the Candidates to discuss why he should be reelected. Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
You've been a strong proponent of expansions for big projects in the city of Orlando, like the Amway Center, Medical City, and SunRail. But listeners might be more concerned feeling something in their pocket close to their wallet, jobs, and also fighting for affordable housing in this area. Can you explain how do these expansions create permanent, high-paying jobs that local Central Floridians are able to tap into?
Well, the recession is probably the best example of why we need to diversify our economy. We had an economy that was based in large part on home building and tourism and high-tech to a lesser extent. And the home building segment of our market basically went away. So one of the things that is important about things like the medical city is creating good, high-wage, high-paying jobs. SunRail is another example of that. Our venues, being able to attract people to our community that will have the skill sets for this century's type of jobs. I subscribe to the economic notions of a guy named Richard Florida, and he says that the cities that are going to be successful in this century are those that can create or can attract the creative, innovative entrepreneurs. And in order to do that, you need to have a diverse economy. You need to embrace diversity in your community. You need to have a tolerant community. And that's the environment that I have tried to create.
How do you balance that? Certainly, there's a lot of jobs during the construction phase. Things like Medical City are going to have permanent, long-lasting jobs. But something like SunRail is going to be kind of a push during construction, and then the amount of jobs seem like they might taper off. So how do you balance those long-lasting
jobs? Well, I can take both of those examples. Medical City is going to be as transformational as Disney was because it's going to attract other components around it. We have a medical school. We have a life sciences school. We have two research institutes, VA hospital and a children's hospital, and all the ancillary jobs that will be created and other people that want to be on that same campus. Already UCF's talking about adding a dental school there. So that's 30,000 jobs and an annual impact of about $8 billion once that's built out. SunRail's another example, though. Since we announced that SunRail was a go and broke ground on SunRail, we've had $300 million worth of projects announced just in our downtown, and that doesn't include the build-outs that are going to occur at Florida Hospital and OH. And then all up and down the line, there's going to be a lot of related transit-oriented development.
Let's move to the new Amway Center. Of course, the NBA All-Star Game drew national attention to downtown Orlando, but also that starts to put a focus on the other two venues which are part of that trilogy. There was the new Amway Center, the Performing Arts Center, and renovations to the Citrus Bowl. Those renovations on the Citrus Bowl have been stalled. Construction is underway on the Performing Arts Center, but the project has faced funding problems and required private donors to step in. So have you had to reassess and decide if this was more than the city of Orlando could chew in one bite?
No, not at all. I don't think anybody anticipated the bump in the economy. It's more than a bump, the recession that we experienced. And all of the funding except the tourist development tax is in place for all three of the venues, and we were able to craft a very financially secure plan to move forward with stage one of the Performing Arts Center. So we're going to build two of the theaters, and they're on schedule right now, under construction. They're going to go vertical. There's a big concrete pour coming up this next weekend. We'll get that out of the ground, and I'm hopeful that the tourist development tax is going to continue to climb as it has the last 2 years. You know, we had 51 million visitors last year. It's most any city in the country. So of anything that's bounced back, it's been tourism. And Central Florida leads the state and the Southeast in job creation right now, and we're expected to continue to do that.
Now, certainly these big projects, the venues in particular, are a partnership with Orange County, and they were approved under the former Orange County Mayor, Rich Crotty, with whom you had a good working relationship, as is shown by getting the deals done. But Mayor Teresa Jacobs has taken a very critical eye towards some of the funding for these projects, and a lot has been talked about in press about your relationship being slightly different with Mayor Jacobs, not as warm as it was with Mayor Crotty. Is that going to be a hindrance moving forward on getting these big projects completed?
I don't think so. We're both professionals. We're certainly cordial with each other. We probably don't have as many beers in the afternoon as I might have with Mayor Crotty, but Mayor Jacobs and I have already worked together on a number of different things. So we're probably going to need to sit down and revisit the interlocal agreement related to the Performing Arts Center and the Citrus Bowl, and I envision probably doing that this summer. It's very important that we take a look at the Citrus Bowl funding, because both of the bowl contracts are up in the fall and subject to renegotiation, and we probably need to have a solution, or at least a time frame for a solution, that Florida Citrus Sports, when they visit with the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC, can lay out a plan for what's going to happen with the Citrus Bowl.
You're listening to Intersection, Conversations with the Candidates on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer. I'm Mark Simpson. Who do you support in Orlando's mayoral race? You can let us know on Facebook and Twitter, or send email to intersection@WMFE.org. Your opponents in this race, you've got three of them, are asking you to sign a pledge promising that you won't run for governor in 2014 before your term ends as mayor if you're reelected. You've declined to sign that pledge. Why is that?
Well, I have never ever said I was thinking about running for governor. It's kind of nice that my opponents think I've done such a great job as mayor of Orlando that I ought to be contemplating that. But I'll say directly to the voters that I'm not going to play into any campaign gimmick, but I plan to serve 4 years as the mayor of Orlando when reelected on April the 3rd.
I want to also ask you about campaign fundraising. Your campaign has received funds from a newly formed political organization called Moving Orlando Forward. The Orlando Sentinel has reported that the organization allows donors to sidestep traditional $500 limits on campaign contributions, the practice entirely legal, but a little unusual in local nonpartisan races like mayoral races. Some of this money gets moved up to the state Democratic Party, and then they're able to do with it what they like. You've actually asked people to make contributions to the organization Moving Orlando Forward. Why take this strategy?
We use whatever is available under state law, and I direct any questions that relate to Moving Orlando to the folks at Moving Orlando Forward.
There's been some talk that this might be an indication of building a war chest for a potential gubernatorial run. What do you say to that?
That I'm going to serve 4 years as mayor.
Is there anything that you would feel that you need that additional funding when it's been fairly obvious from some of the returns that your war chest is substantially bigger than your opponent's?
Well, every 4 years we run a fully active campaign, and we use all the resources that are available to us to make sure that we're successful.
Do you think that your opponent, Ken Mulvaney, when he puts forward ideas like rolling back property taxes to 2005 rates, is a feasible proposition for the Orlando mayor to take?
Well, the difficulty with that position is that the millage rate was actually higher in 2005 than it was this year. So rolling it back would actually be raising taxes. Now, there was a year in 2007 that the millage rate was slightly lower than it is today, but we've been able to hold the line on taxes, and the millage rate in the city of Orlando is actually lower than it was 20 years ago. It's lower than any major city in the state of Florida, and when I say major, I'm qualifying it at 200,000 or above. We're in the best financial shape of any major city in Florida. We have more police officers per 1,000 residents, more firefighters per 1,000 residents, and yet our workforce, we have fewer employees per 1,000 residents. We built up our reserves over the last several years. We have fully funded our pension funds. They're we're ranked the best small pension funds in the country. And Fitch gave us a AAA bond rating. So I think we've done pretty well for the taxpayers of the city of Orlando.
Also talking about one of your opponents in this race, City Commissioner Phil Diamond has talked about trying to improve access to get more locals into the downtown area, talking about things like rolling back the rates in parking garages, maybe changing the way that parking meters are run, allowing regular debit cards to be put on parking meters. Is that something you would consider?
Actually, I guess he hadn't been paying attention at council meetings, because what we actually are doing is we have an intelligent transportation system that we are implementing that includes being able to monitor which parking garages are full or which have vacancies, and then signage that directs people, and actually a mobile app for your smartphone that you can go to parking and actually find out where the best access, the closest garage, the garage that has spaces, and the garage that has the lowest cost.
You've got four candidates total in this mayoral race in Orlando, which probably means that no candidate is going to get more than 50% of the vote, and there's then the possibility of a runoff election. Are you preparing for that contingency at this moment?
We're preparing to win on April the 3rd.
You think that it'll be a supermajority, that you'll be able to avoid that runoff?
Well, we're shooting for 51%, and we feel very good about where we are in the course of this race. We've run full grassroots campaign, knocking on a lot of doors, and done everything that we ought to do.
Do you think that the number of candidates in this race signals that the public might be ready for a change?
I don't think so. It just signals that there are three people that want to sign up and run for mayor.
I also want to ask you briefly about crime, in particular about using neighborhood watches in the city. I know Orlando has 800 block captains, according to your campaign webpage. And I wonder, are you at all concerned about how those systems are administered, given the attention that's been put on Sanford in recent days and the use of neighborhood watches in that area?
Yeah. You know, I thought about that because we're very proud of our neighborhood watch. The chief would tell you that it's one of the most effective crime fighting tools that we have when you have citizens that are involved in monitoring their neighborhoods, not afraid to call the police, not afraid to report suspicious activity in their neighborhood. I think we may do a little bit more training than some of the other areas in terms of you actually have to go through a process and a training course to be a neighborhood block captain, and we re-up every year and make sure people do that. We have something called National Night Out on an annual basis in August, where we do neighborhood parties to emphasize and talk about what it means to be a block captain. So I would think that our program has been very responsible about making sure that people know what they ought to do as a block captain.
Is there any kind of review underway, or are you considering that?
Well, again, we're going to continue to make sure that we train our people. You know, we tell them to not engage anyone. So that the practice, what occurred in Sanford, is totally against everything that we direct our neighborhood watch captains to do.
I've been speaking with Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer on Intersections Conversations with the Candidates. Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, and thank you for hosting this and having an open forum so our citizens can be better informed about the mayoral candidates.
Next week, Intersections Conversations with the Candidates for Orlando Mayor continues. We'll hear from challengers Mike Cantone and Orlando City Commissioner Phil Diamond. You can find out more about our conversations with the candidates by going online to WMFE.org/intersection. There you'll also find links to our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is the assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.